This is Fresh Air. MTV may be a relatively new phenomenon in the grand scheme of rock and roll, but the idea of making a career in rock with a lot of help from television isn't. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward has a profile of TV's first rock idol, Ricky Nelson.
Well, I've tried everything to get along with you. Now I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna quit my crying. I'm gonna leave you alone. If you don't believe I'm leaving,
Eric Hilliard Nelson, to give his full name, was born in 1940, son of a famous bandleader and his wife. By the time he was 12, Ricky was playing himself on his parents' pioneering sitcom, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. If he'd ever had ideas about doing something else, too bad. Ricky got to grow up in public on TV. This meant that he also got to share his enthusiasms with the audience, which is how he became a rock and roll star. One night, he was on a date with a girl who found Elvis singing over the radio, a lot more interesting than Ricky, sitting beside her. In a last-ditch attempt to impress her, he told her he was making a record that week and then wound up having to make good on it. Ozzie pulled some strings, and soon Ricky was in the studio cutting a cover version of Fats Domino's hit, I'm Walking.
I'm walking, yes indeed, I'm talking about you and me, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. Oh yeah, I'm lonely as I can be, and I'm waiting for your company, and I'm hoping that you come back to me.
The record took off, and Verve, the label it was on, was dismayed to find that they'd only cut a one-record deal with Ozzy, and that Ricky had just signed a major deal with Imperial, Fats Domino's label. What Verve hadn't counted on was that Ozzy had had Ricky close the program singing his hit, something any bandleader from the 30s would have done.
A bebop, baby, a bebop, baby, a bebop, baby, she's a gal for me. She got plenty of rhythm, got plenty of jive, and when we dance, I really come alive. My love for her so tender and sweet, my heart starts pounding every time we meet. A bebop baby, still in her teens, just as sweet as she can be. Bebop baby in her old blue jeans is a bebop baby for me. A bebop baby for me.
So when Bebop Baby, his first Imperial record, came out, the musical slot at the end of the show was already established, and it was how Ricky, who after all had commitments to the show and couldn't tour, let his fans know what was going on. Ricky's typical teenager looks and adenoidal pop voice made him a sort of safe Elvis, and his songs tended to revolve around real teenage themes.
Well, I've been waiting ever since I guess my baby's got another date. Stood up, brokenhearted again. I'll bet she's out having a ball, not even thinking of me at all. Stood up, brokenhearted again.
Ricky's songs were just vulnerable and just macho enough to make adults happy, but teenagers could identify with them wholeheartedly.
I believe for what you say when you say you're going steady with nobody else but me. I believe for what you say when you say you don't kiss nobody else but me. I believe you're going steady with nobody else but me.
And there was something else. Ricky had the best songwriters and band money could buy. Believe What You Say was written by Johnny and Dorsey Burnett, Tennessee rockabillies who'd come to L.A. to make it big. And that guitar lick was played by the legendary James Burton, who was the centerpiece of Ricky's band. Check him out on the B-side of Stood Up, a number called Waiting in School.
I've been waiting in school all day long, waiting on the bell to ring so I can go home. I throw my books on the table, pick up the telephone. Hello, baby, let's get some going. Heading down to the drugstore to get a soda pop, throw a nickel in the jukebox, then we start to rock. My school gal, baby, gonna taste some news. You should look good in the baby doll shoe. Well, it's a one, two, a foot of a shoe, a three, four, get out on the floor. 5, 6, come get your kicks down the corner of Lincoln and a 46, yeah!
It was, of course, very hip to consider Ricky Nelson uncool, especially as the 50s ended and his material got closer to mainstream pop. He dropped the Y from the end of his name when he turned 20 and soon fell into obscurity. In 1969, he came back with a superb country rock band, the Stone Canyon Band, and had a hit with a Dylan song, She Belongs to Me. And a couple of years later, after a very unpleasant experience with an oldies show at Madison Square Garden in New York, he recorded his last hit, Garden Party. In it, he savagely attacked the audience that wouldn't let him change, that wouldn't let him do things his way.
Played them all the old songs, I thought that's why they came. No one heard the music, it didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs to me. When I sang a song about a honky-tonk, it was time to leave, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
He kept on, though, right to the end. On New Year's Eve, as 1985 turned into 1986, a faulty heater on his band's creaky old airplane malfunctioned, and he and his band went down in the East Texas woods. At least he'd lived to see people go back to his old records and respect them for what they were. Good, solid, professional pop records with just enough rock and roll.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll.
If I'm all alone, some people call me a teenager. Some people say they envy me. I guess they got no way. How lonesome I can be, how lonesome I can be.
This is Fresh Air.